At the start of our gospel, none of us would choose to be Lazarus over the rich man. At the end, though, none of us would choose to be the rich man over Lazarus. The good news is that there are more than two choices. The second reading gives us another option, and it also happens to be the best option. In St. Paul's letter to Timothy, St. Paul encourages and challenges Timothy. The challenge is just as relevant for us today. Pursue righteousness, devotion, love, and patience. Compete well for the faith. Lay hold of eternal life. Hear that language of pursue and compete. Hear that language of struggle and battle. Eternal life is not going to just fall into your lap accidentally. I mean, we all know how to compete well and battle in so many other ways of our life, in school, at work, at sports, or even in just simple family rivalry. I mean, one of my children and I are just absolutely awful when it comes to competing in the home. And yet, how many or few of us compete for that which matters for all eternity? How many of us have ever encouraged a friend or a loved one to work for and battle to hang on to the faith? Of course, we would first need to provide a positive example ourselves. I've got a friend who would like his girlfriend to be interested in becoming Catholic, and my response to him was, "Don't you think it would help if you would start going to Mass yourself?" Are we providing that example of pursue, compete, and lay hold? Or are we providing a different example? The example I am referring to is not obviously an obviously evil one, but a negligent one. The image of our first reading is vivid and serious. Woe to the complacent in Zion. Woe to the complacent for not doing the good they could be doing. They are lying on beds of ivory, stretched comfortably on their couches, having another beer, watching another movie or sporting event or a reality television show. They foolishly think that they are accomplished and secure because of their material blessings. It reminds me of something very striking that Jesus said in the book of Revelation. He says, "You say, I am rich and affluent and have no need of anything, yet you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked." And as if that isn't enough, the prophet goes on and says, "They are not made ill by the collapse of Joseph." In other words, the nation, the family, the marriage are falling apart, and they take no effort to bring about change. To neglect the poor and the needy is sinful. To neglect the spiritual well-being of the nation, of our families, of our marriages, of our own soul is sinful. It's why we have at the beginning of the Mass when we pray, "In what I have done and in what I have failed to do." Like the rich man in the gospel, how many of us are blind to the needs in front of our faces and at our feet? In our gospel, we don't know enough to say that the rich man is inherently evil, but we do know that he is neglectful and complacent, and he ends up on the wrong side of the great chasm for all eternity. Have we become complacent and oblivious along with our dominant Western culture? How much are we contributing to the decay of the nation, of the family life, of the dignity of marriage, of the sanctity of human life? With the rise in secularism and atheism, it's natural for those who embrace that worldview to be complacent about what is good for others. Without God and his teachings as a foundation, why do anything that doesn't serve your own personal interest? To be complacent or self-centered as an atheist would be consistent with their worldview. But regardless of what an unbeliever might tell themselves, they still don't have an excuse. You know, St. Paul wrote to the Romans, he says, "For what can be known about God is evident to the unbeliever because God made it evident to them." Ever since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes of eternal power have been able to be understood and perceived in what he has made. Therefore, they are without excuse. Just because they choose to be complacent and oblivious, the unbeliever still has no excuse. And neither do we. And we profess a completely different worldview. It's time that we listen to St. Paul's advice. Pursue righteousness, devotion, and love. Compete well for the faith. Lay hold of eternal life. Notice that St. Paul doesn't lay out a list of specific tasks for Timothy to do. Rather, he presents him a way of life that flows from Timothy's Christian identity. If we have the virtues, chief among them being courage, then the tasks we do and the judgments we make will be influenced by the mind and heart of God. St. Paul refers to this as Timothy's noble profession. Timothy first made his noble profession at his baptism. Do we see the professions that we have made as noble? Baptism, confirmation, marriage. Now, I was baptized as an infant, so I certainly didn't recognize it at my baptism, but I did when I had my children baptized. At the time, I didn't recognize my confirmation or my marriage as a noble public confession, but now I do. I definitely experienced this at my ordination when I accepted that responsibility of being a public person, of representing Christ and his church to the world. But guess what? That's not just for the ordained. That responsibility is at the heart of all of our noble professions. We have been chosen by God and given his Spirit to be witnesses of Christ and the church to the world. Is our witness a positive one or a complacent one? That was one of the blessings I had when I led RCIA for 10 years, that I had that privilege of watching adults receive the sacraments as noble professions, and it inspired me in my own profession. Before God, we are responsible for the noble professions, the vows, the sacraments we have sworn. We are called to be righteous, devoted, faithful representatives of Christ and his church to the world. If you are a man who has not yet signed up or has not yet participated in the That Man Is You program, I strongly encourage you to do so. It's not too late. Because with the men who are showing up, we've had 50 plus men every week, are pursuing and competing and laying hold of the most important aspects of our life, of our faith, while learning about authentic male leadership. The question before all of us today, though, is, will we sacrifice that which is passing away for that which will never pass away? As Scott Hahn likes to say, he is no fool to give up what he cannot keep to gain what he can never lose. At the beginning of our gospel, Lazarus was to be pitied and the rich man to be desired. However, at the end, we know that the rich man was the fool for being complacent and negligent, for not doing the good that was given to him to do. He is no fool to give up what he cannot keep to gain what he can never lose. Let us decide anew to set aside our complacent and negligent ways. Let us pursue righteousness, devotion, and faith. Let us compete well and lay hold of the faith. This is all of our noble calling.
Let us stand.